Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to mortgage protection, trust Zurich. Get the advice you need from a financial broker today.
Now, listen to one woman's words from the Central Criminal Court this week. "You have made me feel like I wasn't even a human being. What you did has stripped me of all that I am and rot me to the core." These are the powerful words heard this week in the Central Criminal Court in the trial of five men who were sentenced today for the rape and sexual assault of a 17-year-old woman in the Midlands in 2016. When handing down the sentences of terms of up to 19 years, the judge described the case as horrifying and said that the men had acted like animals. I'm joined now by Professor Louise Crowley from University College Cork and Cliona Sadlier, Director of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland, to discuss the sentences and the case. You're very welcome, Cliona and Louise, to the programme. I might, Louise, get your reaction first of all to the sentences handed down in this case. 19 years for the rape of a 17-year-old girl.
Good evening, Cormac. Yeah, I mean, this case is beyond horrific. Following it for the last number of weeks, to imagine that poor woman's experience, not only on the night that she was so brutally attacked and raped, but to have to relive it right through the whole prosecution in the courtroom was horrific. So I absolutely welcome not only the ruling, the total of 66 years that was handed down by Judge Tara Burns, but the manner in which that ruling was delivered, the sentiments expressed by Judge Burns, the support she clearly had for this woman who had to appear before the courts, and the absolute rejection of any suggestion that was made to her that these would be regarded as mid-range category offences.
Because is that what you read from the sentences handed down? Because the defence, just to make this clear, did argue that these offences fell into the mid-range category. Mm. So the sentences of 19 years, is that the judge saying, no, absolutely not?
That's an absolute rejection by Judge Burns of that suggestion. And that is clear in the years that she gave these men, but also in the words that she expressed in delivering those sentences. She absolutely rejected any suggestions that were mid-range category and spoke about the degradation at the most extreme level that this woman had experienced, the culmination of the gang rape, the fact that it was videoed, the pure depravity, and the manner in which this had occurred. And I think that Judge Burns, this judgment and the sentences would be hugely welcomed, because it's so important that not only in this case that this woman in some way gets some piece of justice after this experience, but also that the message is very clear that in Ireland we do not accept in any way that this behaviour could be regarded as mid-range, and the sentences are welcome for that reason.
The judge also said, and you refer to it, Professor, that the survivor had to relive or be re-traumatised through the case as well. And in part because they pleaded not guilty, some of the men. And she said, regarding consent, and that was put forward as a defence as well, the judge said the men had peddled the lie that they believed she had consented to the sexual activity.
Yeah, it beggars belief, Cormac. I mean, all but one of these men did not plead guilty. So as a result, this woman had to give full testimony in the court to convince the court that this had happened, that it was not consensual, and to share with the court the extreme depravity of the behaviour that occurred. But again, to applaud Judge Burns, she recognised, and I quote, that consent is not a decision for the perpetrators, powerfully supporting the testimony provided, and noted that, you know, it is from her perspective that the determination of whether or not there was consent had to be considered, and outright rejected any suggestion that there could be any belief that there was consent given in this case. So again, very important for those people who are listening to this judgment, who themselves may be survivors of sexual violence, who may now feel that they will be heard and they will be believed. And this is, so that's one of the other really significant parts of this judgment and this sentencing, and the words of Judge Burns, which I think are hugely important, because the reporting of sexual violence, it's, you know, the numbers are so low, and in turn the successful prosecutions are so low. So people are loath to make formal reports, and obviously there are lots of reasons people don't make formal reports, but one of them is the fear of not being believed, of there being a belief that there was consent. And so this is very very empowering for people who may be considering making a formal report.
Stay with me, Professor Louise Crowley, if you don't mind. Cliona Sadleir, Director of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland, is with us as well. I might get your reaction to what the judge said to the woman. She told her she was very, very brave, Cliona, and that she was beyond impressed with how she conducted herself with absolute dignity during the trial. And I'm sure she was referring as well to the victim impact statement, which was extremely powerful.
Indeed. And I think we would absolutely echo everything that Professor Crowley has just said there. The exact same points jumped out at us. And I think one of the things that is, you know, that we're watching in terms of how that pushback, the judge pushing back, and how it's not entertained at all, that the if you like, the peddling of this consent lie, that the men concocted together, how it was pushed back on the perpetrators. And what was not asked of the survivor here was that they would be, if you like, that the survivor was defending themselves, that they needed to be, if you like, perfect and ideal. So the dignity with which this survivor conducted herself, and I think you see it really coming through in the victim impact statement. One of the things that really struck us around the impact statement was that she didn't have to present herself as having complete, you know, she presented a number of, if you like, contradictory things, in that she was saying she absolutely was not to blame for any of the decisions that she made. But she also talked about being tortured and torturing herself about each of the decisions that she made at the same time as knowing she was innocent of them. Mm. So I think it's really important that she had the freedom to talk about that, because that is at the heart of the trauma response. It's at the heart of the PTSD that she talks about having experienced as well. We have to allow survivors to talk about that conflict that they have in their recovery from that process. And this the way that what was tolerated and what in terms of the arguments in this case and what the judge said in sentencing really opened up that space for this survivor and for other survivors after to really talk about that confusion.
Well, it's which is a difficult thing to do. And in cases of this nature, and four of the men here were found guilty of rape, and the fifth, Ethan Nicolau, was sentenced for two counts of sexual assault. In cases like this, Cliona, you very often in the Rape Crisis Network Ireland support a survivor through the case and in her very often recovery afterwards. How important is that type of work you do?
So one of the hardest things about being a victim in this space, and oftentimes you hear them called complainants in this space, because of course I think most people realise now they're witnesses in the case as opposed to bringing that case, and that means they don't have their own team. It's the state that brings the case, and so they don't have a lawyer with them. What we provide is an accompaniment service. So this is where we have a trained person, and really what we've just put in an application to expand that to a much more professional and national spread of a service, which has become normal in other jurisdictions, whereby the victim, from the point of considering reporting, has an advocate, a skilled advocate, and that advocate will keep them informed all the way through. And remember, in this case, she waited 5 years for this to come to court. So we'll keep them informed every way through, and so they're not in the dark while they're waiting. Their life, you know, insofar as it's their life is put on hold.
And then
you
afterwards, so Cliona, and the judge said today that she hoped that the survivor could put this part of her life behind her. But in your experience, how difficult a thing is that to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, we have a number of phrases that we use in these, and none of them are perfect. I think any survivor will tell you that the experience never leaves you. It is something you live with, but you can live differently with it. I think one of the really important parts here as well is that you know, we are not defined, and no one is defined by what somebody else chose to do to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is part of that support that we get from others, but it's also part of the time that is given to every survivor to really be in that space where they can sit with the trauma and the contradictions and the impact, and to work through and to figure out where to put this in their life and where to, you know, how to move forward with it. But I think what's really important as well is that there is no bonus or burden on any survivor to, if you like, deliver to us their story and to deliver to society solutions. That is for society to deliver. It is for the those in authority, but also all of us to deliver.
All of us as a community. Yeah. And one of the elements of doing that, I suppose, Louise, would be what you referred to earlier on and what the judge referred to emphatically in her comments today around consent. Now, you work in the university sector. What the judge says, I think it's important to say this. She says, because a woman doesn't call out or fight does not mean she's consenting.
Yeah.
And she went on to expand on that as well. I mean, how much work do we need to do in Ireland as a community to get a greater understanding of what consent is?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge issue, and it is one that is very much on the radar. So you may be aware that at third level, there is now a national framework to end sexual harassment and violence at third level. And so there's compulsory training for all first-year students at orientation every September for all third-level institutions. And there's an expectation that that training goes to all students over the course of the year and in turn staff as well. And there's a huge appetite for this. And so consent and also bystander training, which is about the role of all of society to identify unacceptable behaviour, call out friends who are behaving in a way that's unacceptable or where behaviour is escalating, and to support each other so that that behaviour can become unacceptable and those people who are conducting that way can be seen as behaving in a way that is socially not acceptable. And so we need to develop, opportunities and safe spaces for people to better understand. So that's the education piece. And so we have developed training at UCC, as they have in other institutions. I'm also developing and have delivered a pilot program to second level students just in this year, since unfortunately, the horrific murder of Aisling Murphy, we were inundated with requests. And so with Irish Research Council funding, we developed a six-module programme, and it's being delivered in 45 schools across the country, dealing not just with consent, but also the capacity to identify healthy relationships, unhealthy relationships, image-based abuse. But in terms of consent, the really important issues of, as you mentioned, Cormac, not just hearing yes or asking yes or no, but understanding the unspoken messages, the non-verbal cues that people give when they're not comfortable with the situation, the importance of always checking in. It's a huge area, but we can definitely challenge each other in society and use the education to do so.
And learn and continue to learn. I think it's badly needed, isn't it? Look, we'll leave it there for the moment. We wish the woman at the centre of all of this the very, very best. But Professor Louise Crowley of UCC, thank you very much indeed. And Cliona Sadlier, Director of the Rape Crisis Network Ireland, thank you as well. We'll be right back.